Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that is solely dedicated to multifamily industry operations. I'm your host, Paul Marks, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. We have a great show with a wonderful guest who is extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. Today, we're discussing the topic of creating a people-first culture. Joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, a nationally sought-after industry educator and industry consultant, the fabulous Maria Pietroforte, the founder and president of Maria Pietroforte Consulting. Welcome, Maria.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here today.
Well, I'm excited about this topic. It's something that I know is on the minds of a lot of people in the industry, obviously with post-pandemic, staffing issues and so forth. People are looking for ways to create an opportunity to not only attract but retain their staff members. And I know you believe today that putting your people and team first is an absolute must. But you shared with me in a previous conversation that when you started in the industry, you didn't always feel that way. That was something that you were more of an old school type of philosophy when it came to people. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Well, I'm sorry to say that you're right. I was old school. Part of that came from just, I think, the era that I started in property management. And it was coupled with my role models, the leaders before me. This was when I was a regional manager, one of my first corporate jobs, and it was all about getting the most out of everybody. So it was basically, I remember the president of this company, he used to go around the table. It's hard to believe, Paul, but he would go around the table, and at that time, we were pretty much all female regional team led by a man, and he would literally, almost like he may have had something in his hand. I don't remember. It's been a while ago, but he would go around to each of us, almost like pointing the stick at us, in that browbeating fashion that we weren't doing good enough, that we had to do better, the results weren't, and we were doing good. We had a fabulous team at this particular company, and I mirrored that behavior. And in my first, I'd say 3 to 5 years, I expected perfection. I was all about the numbers, the productivity. Were we making enough? Did I turn around this asset fast enough, cheap enough? All those enough type of things. And I fired a lot of people to where they actually, and can't even believe this is what my nickname was, but they called me the hatchet lady.
Oh my God.
And I know, can you believe that? Nobody would probably believe that now, I hope. And it was not, there's things that you do at work that they're just unacceptable and you should not be on the team. And then there's people that are really striving to do their best, but if you had that old school mind, it was never good enough, and you just got rid of them. Everybody was replaceable. And I know that is truly a true thing. We are all replaceable, but it was the mindset. Just get somebody else, and you ride them hard until they can't perform, or if they're not doing exactly what you needed to do, move on. And I came to a point in the business between the leadership and my behavior that I thought I was in the wrong profession. I couldn't take it. I was, pretty much just having a meltdown. And what I learned was that management style didn't fit me, even though it was commonplace, you know, at that time. And I ended up making a decision. It was either leave the industry, you know, and find something else that I like to do, or change. And my choices were, I kept thinking, well, what could I do that was helping people? Because that's what I wanted to do. And I thought, oh, maybe the medical field. Well, that meant, you know, a whole lot more education and maybe seeing blood and things that I couldn't do, or changing me. Because you cannot really change everybody around you unless they're willing and they've had, you know, some type of awakening that they want to grow and change. But I did. I wanted to be about people. And I really worked hard to change that. I was actually kind of a trailblazer. I was a people first person before it was fashionable. But it's what helped my career, I think, take off, because I was different and I was starting to care about people, trying to figure out how to bring the best out of them so that they would follow. You know, so I had intuitively the mindset that we need to have now. Like I said, I hate to say it's probably been 25 or more years ago that this happened. I'm aging myself, and as you can tell with that amount of years, it definitely wasn't the style.
Exactly. Well, we've got about 4 minutes left in this segment. Let's talk a little bit about what does creating a people-first culture mean? What's the definition of that?
Oh, boy. I would say, just in a nutshell, the definition is that you care about the needs of, I hate to call them your people, but your team, the people around you, others. And if you care about them, and as a leader, you're trying to keep your team motivated. You're trying to keep your team motivated and happy. Because if your team is happy, my belief is that if your team is happy, they feel cared for, they're nurtured, they're challenged, they will perform. So I believe you flip the pyramid and corporate CEO, president, vice president, we're on the bottom of the pyramid and our team is on the front. I also believe that the more attention you pay to your team, you don't need to pay as much attention to your customers, because your team is going to. It's a trickle effect.
And obviously, there are some benefits to the people first culture. What are some of the benefits that that you believe result from putting this in place?
I think first and foremost, which speaks to the world we live in now, is your attraction, retention in the workplace. I think you have such a better chance to cultivate an amazing team and then to build bench strength. And we can go into that in a whole lot more detail. But there's so much money, time, and reputation lost when your team is not engaged. And your team will not be engaged if you don't show that you care about them, you're meeting their needs. And there's a whole lot more we can go into about what are their needs and how do you do that.
How would it affect, for instance, company value?
Well, when you think about company value, it's reputation and it's bottom line. So it's a financial and a reputational point. And from a reputation, when you're not taking care of your team, they're not taking care of your customer. And what is the first thing everybody does? Your employees go to Glassdoor and they just, you know, demolish you. Your residents and even your vendors, because potentially your bills aren't getting paid on time. There's such a trickle again. You're being just basically blasted in social media. So the reputation of the company goes down, which then can impact not only your team members, but getting financing, what vendors want to work for you, who's going to live at your communities. On the other side, when you have happy residents, when I say that, I think about the happy cows in California, you know, make cheese.
Right.
But happy happy employees will boost your bottom line. They work harder. They're more innovative. They're going to be creative, dedicated. That has to impact your bottom line. They're going to, you know, they're going to be working hard to make the property or the assets money and to reduce the expenses while preserving the asset.
All right. Well, we are going
make
to.
Sense?
Yeah, it does make sense. And we're going to break it here. We're going to come back right after this short break with your next segment. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
REV, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book REV's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let REV drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress. Stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let REV be your long-term leasing solution. Go to RevLMC.com to find out more. That's RevLMC.com. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire REV today.
Looking for a solution to balance your assets? Tired of wasted time managing your day-to-day bookkeeping, buggy software implementations, inaccurate financials? Or maybe you're worried about a pending audit. Would you like more time to focus on revenue-generating activities versus accounting administrative activities? Here at Balanced Asset Solutions, we are a CPA firm that specializes in property management platforms, including Yardi and Appfolio. You can reach Balanced Asset Solutions now at 619-415-6826. Go visit our website at www.balancedassetsolutions.com. Don't delay. Call Balanced Asset Solutions today.
Control by Net provides communities with video surveillance solutions accessible 24/7 from any web browser or mobile device. Our remote guarding reduces crime in garages and mailrooms. Many top owners and managers already utilize our services and love the single sign-on feature to see all properties. As NAA and NMHC members, Control by Net only serves multifamily. Our cloud and managed video solution is consistently voted easiest to use. We meet any compliance requirements. Visit us at www.controlbynet.com or email us for a free site survey at crproperty@controlbynet.com.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio, and we're discussing the topic of creating a people-first culture. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, a nationally sought-after industry educator and industry consultant, the wonderful Maria Pietroforte, the founder and president of Maria Pietroforte Consulting. Before we get back in the conversation, I do want to remind our listeners, if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So, Maria, a key point of creating a people-first culture is leadership. And I know that you believe that your title doesn't make you a leader. What do you mean by that?
What I mean by that is that leaders stand out in a crowd. And here's an example. I would say the first 10 years of my career, I was a regional manager. Now, of course, I changed companies a couple times in there. But as a regional, I was able to, once I'd made that decision, to make a difference for my team members. I started to put them first, to care about them, to be their advocate, you know, to fight for benefits and things for them. Now, I wasn't the decision maker, but I was representing the team in whole. So how that is relevant is that just because you're the vice president, the president, doesn't mean that people are following you, doesn't mean that people trust you. So your behavior is what I believe makes you a leader. So your actions, you know, how you navigate the crowd, so to say. Title isn't a leader. You know, you could have the title because of your education, who you know. You know, there's a million different reasons. But leadership is your ability to have others want to follow you.
So how does someone actually become a leader then?
Well, again, I think they have to make that change in their heart and in their mind. They have to decide that instead of it's all about me, you know, my career path, my title, my income, you know, my successes, it's about yours. It's about theirs. So when you make that shift and you're doing everything you can to nurture, mentor, you know, advocate for your team, you start to already have the characteristics of a true leader. And I think one of the main things right now that leaders lack and why somebody without a title can be that natural leader is compassion. Again, a lot of leaders are, especially if you're a public traded company, and I've been president of one of those, you know, it's all about the numbers again. So striking that balance of people first versus numbers first is sometimes tough to do. So you've always got to have the first thing you're going to think about is how does this impact the team, not how does this impact the bottom line. I mean, you're thinking about that, but your actions are about the team.
You know, when someone uses the phrase leader, you know, I think most people would think you're talking about someone at the top of the food chain. But a leader could be the leader of a maintenance team on a site, or the lead maintenance tech who has people that work under his direction. It could be the property manager at an on-site. So these same qualities that we're talking about can be adopted, this people-first qualities could be adopted by a leader at any level within the organization, correct?
Absolutely. And that's why I use the word leader. I don't use the word executive, president, vice president. I tend to not use the titles because if you're creating a people-first culture, you're more or less creating a flat organization where everybody matters. It doesn't matter what your title is. So I tend to not use a title. You know, I think I mentioned this to you when we were talking the other day, that a lot of times people thought I was in marketing or in leasing and sales when I was actually the president of these companies. And I believe that's because I did not separate myself from the team because of my title. I wanted to be a worker among workers, you know, that I would do what they need to do. You know, I'm a big believer in lead by example. And I love what you said about maintenance. Amazing maintenance supervisor, in my experience, has been one that he worked, I call it knee to knee. It's my style of working too. He worked knee to knee with his team. He showed them what to do. He taught them. He mentored them. If they didn't fix the air conditioner correctly, he'd go back in. They'd troubleshoot it together. That's a leader. You know, it's he's not being punitive. And I've seen so many maintenance supervisors that have that quality, and they're not always given the value that I believe they should be given for what they do.
We've got about 5 minutes left in this segment. Tell us a little bit about when it comes to the corporate leadership team, because I know that that's something that you've had quite a bit of experience with. How do people become people-first leaders?
Well, let me start by telling you what they typically do that doesn't work and what they can do. What I've seen in, you know, the ivory tower, I've already talked about the flipped pyramid, they make decisions from the corporate boardroom. They're running the business with their team of executives. So they're not penetrating the true team, the true leaders that are out at the properties, that are out in the field, that are traveling, you know, day to day, touching everybody. And I don't mean physically, but, you know, touching them. So leaders tend to look at numbers and they get their information from the next person down, and that's filtered. Mm-hmm. Again, you're not seeing reality. So a great leader at corporate, the first thing they're going to do is they're going to say, you know, I'm going to spend at least 20% of my time in the field, maybe more. And this isn't like by doing town halls where everybody's there and it's a big rah, rah, because you don't get to hear the intimate conversations that you need to hear. What I believe first thing that needs to happen at corporate is you need to get out and talk to your team. The best thing you can do is bring them donuts, put them in a room, you know, or lunch, and a small group. I'm talking property at a time or maintenance, leasing, you know, at a time, and ask them, what do you like? What works? What doesn't work? You need to ask them, what are you doing that's a waste of time that we shouldn't be doing? And what is it that you need that we're not giving you? They will tell you. It's the first thing I do when I join a company. My first 90 days, it's all about interacting with people. And you have to build that trust then and there. That's what a leader does. And then there's a whole lot more you do to keep that going.
Yeah. And I would say that I know there's a big push in some areas of multifamily to use anonymous polling of their employees, which is a good tool. But I think part of the reason why people feel that's good is because if they ask somebody point blank to their face a question, the people may hold back their response a little bit or filter their response because they're afraid that, you know, they may be seen in a certain way or there may be punitive things if they, you know, because they may not have that trust factor yet. How do you build that trust factor?
Well, you have to experiment with it. You've just got to do it. What I would do is if I thought that my team or a team member didn't have trust, you know, to talk to me, I would put it right out there and say, I know that we haven't been a company or I haven't been, you know, a person that seemed that I really cared or asked you these questions, but I realize that if I don't, we're not going to be the kind of company that you want to work for. You know, and you have to be somewhat vulnerable. They need to start to trust you and maybe even share something that, you know, you like or don't like and ask them, what do you think? But you've got to be careful when you do that because a lot of times they're going to mirror you. I would just say, come on. What I usually say to the group is, you know, first of all, it's circle of trust. You know, you please give me this chance and tell me the worst thing about the company. And a lot of times I'll use an example like the one I did with the stick. You know, even though he didn't have a stick, that's how it felt. You know, you give them something that you've experienced and then they're more likely to talk. But it takes time. You may not get it in your first visit. You know, they may be thinking that and own it.
Yeah, and you know, I think back to a prior episode we did with the great Mike Brewer, Chief Operating Officer at Radco. We were talking about mental health issues and getting people in a room to talk about it. Nobody really wanted to say anything. He is the leader. Started talking about some of the struggles and challenges he's had, and that kind of opened up the room. That it started to build that trust. So I think you're right. I think a leader has to maybe go first, you know, be the one to dip their toe in the water and show the others in the room that they are just as vulnerable as the others, and that they realize that there's issues. So go ahead.
I agree with you. Absolutely. Sharing your mistakes publicly starts to create trust, you know, almost instantly. Because when you say, I've made a mistake, this is what I did, you know, like I did earlier kind of in the conversation was, you know, I wish I wasn't that person that I was in my first few years. I don't like her. You know, I don't want to be like her. And that's powerful to the team.
All right. Well, we are going to break it here. We're going to be back right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
SMART is a national multifamily research and analytics company providing market, property, and floor plan level data to track performance, evaluate competitive strategies, and identify potential investment opportunities. Their innovative web-based software and mobile application contains extensive searchable inventory of granular historical data, floor plan by floor plan rents, concessions, and availabilities for enhanced analysis and forecasting. For more information or to sign up for a free trial, go to smartapartmentdata.com.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. We're discussing the topic of creating a people-first culture. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, a nationally sought-after industry educator and industry consultant, the fantastic Maria Pietroforte, the founder and president of Maria Pietroforte Consulting. I want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. Econserve, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S., Rev, the leasing management company. Rev is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Control by Net, providing multifamily video surveillance and remote guarding, solving your security needs. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. Balanced Asset Solutions. Don't delay. Call Balanced Asset Solutions today. Smart Apartment Data, the most comprehensive and up-to-date intelligence on the apartment industry, and CTS Complete Technology Solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So, Maria, one of the things that I'm excited to find out your thoughts on is what you call bench strength. We've got a people business here. And you need to have some strength on your bench to get ready to fill in or to help out. Talk a little bit about your thoughts on that.
Well, first of all, it's so important nowadays. And, you know, coming out of COVID, going into what everybody calls, you know, the great resignation, then you've got quiet quitting and the imposter syndrome and all these things that are going on that's causing a lot of churn, you know, in the workplace. So what's happening is that we're not having people to fill some of those spots. So as some of us are aging out and wanting to do something different, who's going to be our replacement? Now, for me, I always thought about succession planning, you know, and building your team, you know, for those next steps. But right now, whether it's because you don't have a people-first company, you don't have the right benefits, you know, the right reputation, that's not happening as well as it should. So what I believe bench strength is that you're creating, in a sense, you know, I like to use like career ladders. You're creating a pipeline of people that can be promoted. And, you know, that starts with leadership, you know, and having these people love the company, they're learning, they're highly engaged. And then it really gets into what is the company doing for that staying power so that people stay with the company and that they're learning how to take that next step. And I'll give you a couple examples of where people first would make a big difference. So, for instance, I'm a regional manager, and I'm going to my properties. And this, again, used to be me. Mm-hmm. What do you normally do? And I bet you if everybody told you the truth, you're going to get probably 80% do this. First thing they do, well, maybe the first thing they do when they get to a property is they drive it. You know, they look around to see, you know, how's the curb appeal. But when they go into the office, they kind of say they're, you know, almost waving like you're the beauty queen, but they go directly into the manager's office, and that's typically where they stay. Now, they may go look at some apartments, some vacants and things, but they spend their time with the manager. That definitely, one, it impacts your leadership because you're not being a people first because you're not seeing the people. And two, you're limiting the growth of everybody around you. So as basic as it is, when you go to a property, you need to spend time with everybody. Just like the president, if they're only getting information from their executives, you're hearing a filtered response. Same at the property. You're only hearing what the manager tells you, and you're not having the opportunity to engage others, to mentor them, to learn what they need. So these are just very common leadership mistakes that people do, is that they're not helping everybody. They're not interacting with everyone. But when you do, you start to see that superstar that nobody's acknowledged yet. You know, it could be a housekeeper. I've actually had housekeepers, I don't know, that have become regional managers because of the engagement that we had and the mentoring. You know, so you've got to touch your people, and then you have to help them along the way. Ask them, where do you want to go in this company? What would you like to be? But then there's the other side of that too, Paul. If you don't have the right benefits, the right PTO, the right educational learning, you know, opportunities, you're not going to have any bench strength because they're not going to stay. They're going to stay 2-3 years and then leave. They're going to go somewhere else where they can get what they want.
So what do you recommend as far as how to build that bench strength?
Well, to me, first of all, you have to have a people-first company, and your expectation should be that everybody is talking to as many people as they can, you know, when they go out. And not in not take advantage of like a group lunch, because it's different. But you've got to start working with your people. But from a company perspective, you've got to have your program. So it starts really with your people platform, your HR, you know, how do your job descriptions, you know, cantilever into each other. How do your salary guidelines fit? What type of learning and mentoring do you have for your team members? For instance, if a maintenance person gets their HVAC certification, do you reward them? Do they get an extra dollar an hour? Or do you say, oh, they've got to prove it. They've got the certification, but, you know, they don't know what they're doing yet. That's what I hear. Instead, reward them. Show them that you care. That's a, you know, acknowledge it, celebrate it. They'll stay and they'll be excited about what can I do next. And I think one of the key things is that people tend to, like I said, they go and see the manager. Going from manager to regional is where you lose a lot of people. That's where they fail because they've had no exposure to doing multi-site, to what corporate's like. They're used to running a property where it's all about the residents. And as soon as you hit corporate, it's all about the team, always all about the team. Am I making sense?
Yeah, no, that definitely makes sense. So is there, and we've got about 3 minutes left in this segment, is there a mindset shift that has to occur to change from people first from whatever the company was prior?
Absolutely. If you don't believe it, you're not going to do it. You know, it's if your head thinks, if you're still thinking that, gosh, I want to be a vice president, and I'm a regional, I'm going to prove myself instead of I'm a regional manager, I want my people to succeed, I'm going to do everything I can to help them in their career, hitting, you know, for them to be successful, it's different. And let me tell you a little story about that. Using myself as an example, I was a regional manager who the vice president of the company left to join a REIT. Instead of promoting me to the vice president, well, first of all, the company didn't even think about internal. They were going to hire an external person. And then somebody said, hey, what about Maria? So they promoted me to the director instead of the vice president. Then the president of the company left and I was career blocked. I went from being a director to being a vice to being a president. I was recruited away from the company, never been a vice president, and I did not think that they would hire me. Like, who would hire me as a president? I've never been a vice president. But my reputation, my people first skills, my ability to, you know, get people to do what we needed to do to make them feel good, the chatter is what got me the interview and my first president job. So, you know, I had bench strength, and the company had spent a lot of money building me. You know, this company was great in the sense of developing bench strength. I had all sorts of training, but it really started. They were a people first company, I believe, at least with the original crew that ran it. They developed us. They taught us everything about HR and, you know, building teams and people and being fair and consistent.
All right. Well, we are going to break it here. We are going to be back in just a minute with our last segment, where we're going to be talking a little bit about something that I know is near and dear to your heart, and that's being extraordinary. So we will be back right after this short break with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
SMART is a national multifamily research and analytics company providing market, property, and floor plan level data to track performance, evaluate competitive strategies, and identify potential investment opportunities. Their innovative web-based software and mobile application contains extensive searchable inventory of granular historical data, floor plan by floor plan rents, concessions, and availabilities for enhanced analysis and forecasting. For more information or to sign up for a free trial, go to smartapartmentdata.com.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. EconServe has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call EconServe today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's EconServe at 713-662-3220.
We are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio, and we're discussing the topic of creating a people-first culture. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, a nationally sought-after industry educator and industry consultant, the awesome Maria Pietroforte, the founder and president of Maria Pietroforte Consulting. I do want to let our multifamily supplier partners that are listening in our audience know that we have a couple of special and very unique Multifamily Matter sponsorship opportunities available right now. To find out more while they're still available, please reach out to us at our website at multifamilyradio.com. So, Maria, I know that a big part of what you talk about is being extraordinary. Tell us what that means.
Well, to me, it means not be normal. I mean, why would you want to be like everyone else if when you can be extraordinary? And it differentiates you. And I think for me, I've always been a little bit, you know, right or left of the box, but basically I'm outside of the box all the time. So to be, whether it was popular or not, to be extraordinary as an individual, and you've heard me talk a lot about mindset, you have to be, or I, let's do it with me, I have to be willing to do things differently, first of all, and I have to be willing to do that little extra. And what I mean by that is that in my career, for instance, I always worked hard. I was dedicated. Whether I had a great leader in front of me, you know, or were with the right company that I would stay with, I always worked hard. Now, to be extraordinary in a people-first culture, you've got to keep on the forefront of your mind. You always, always have to be thinking about how can I help others? It doesn't mean how can I enable, but how can I help others? Accountability is a big part of being extraordinary, and it's a big part of a people-first culture. You're not letting everybody just run around doing whatever they want. You're encouraging them. You're setting them up for success in on their path. So extraordinary for a company means that, again, and you've mentioned a couple companies that are doing this. You had talked about a few people with me that are trying to be extraordinary. They do not want to be just another management and development company. They want to be a great place to work. So when you're extraordinary as a company or as a leader, you're going to go through the things that impact people. And what's, I think, on the top of most people's mind of being an extraordinary company nowadays is really in, a lot of it's in that benefit package. You know, so an extraordinary company is going to basically say, okay, everybody offers insurance, everybody has PTO, you know, but do we have enough? Do we have the right ones? Are we offering what other people want? So when you're extraordinary, you're doing that, again, doing that little bit extra. To me, you've got to be, you know, you've always got to be thinking about what can I do to make things better? You know, how can we improve things? You know, and you have to be talking to people. I think you've probably gathered that in everything that I say, that conversations are so important in being extraordinary. And normally, people don't take that time. So if you're already, you know, making the effort to find out what people want, what drives them, what can the company do differently, you're already transforming yourself to an extraordinary person or company.
You know, there are a lot of different methods that someone could use to try and determine what needs to happen within a company as far as benefits and so forth. What are some of the best methods that you believe that someone could use to try and get that information?
Well, I think you've already heard, I love, you know, the brown bag donut meetings. And I'll give you an example. And this may have come up in a survey, because I do believe in surveys. I think you need to do surveys. But a survey is only going to give you the answers to the questions. And a lot of surveys are done so that you can be ranked against other companies. So the questions may not fit your exact dynamic. You know, so it depends on the survey and how you're going about them. But when you have a brown bag lunch, one of the things that I found out, because again, I'm always asking what works, what doesn't work, what would you like to change? One of the things that I found out from my team members is that our insurance didn't cover insulin. And we happened to have had a group of people that their children or, you know, spouse or themselves needed insulin, but it was not covered in our insurance. So what I did, because I'm representing the company, I was president at this time, but I still had to go to a board, you know, to make these changes, is that we really needed to change our insurance policy to offer, you know, that medicine to be covered. Now, the company, unfortunately, or the board did not want to do that because we also had, you know, a menu where you could put money into your savings, you know, for insurance, and they thought that that worked. But that's not what the employees wanted. They wanted a policy that included insulin. So you've got to ask the questions. You have to listen. But when you ask questions, whether it's in a survey or verbal, and you're hearing the same things over and over, if you don't acknowledge that and do something, you're not extraordinary. Mm. You're hurting the company, and you'll have turnover, bad reputation, you know, because people are going to talk. Mm-hmm. They asked, we told them what we wanted, and they didn't do it. Now, companies can't do everything, but you need to explain why you're not versus, oh, you've already got that. You can put the money in a savings. So,
I guess maybe that's one of the reasons why some people don't ask questions, because they know that if they're not going to be able to do something, they don't want to create that bad reputation. But that's not really how you can be extraordinary, is it?
Exactly. I was having a hard time sitting in my seat thinking, that's why you're normal, because you're thinking about the why not. It costs money. You know, we have to change plans. I got to get a new, whatever it is. That's an excuse. Think about what's best, what's the highest and best thing you can do for your team, because your team is going to give back to you in so many ways, you know, financially on your bottom line, less turn, less, you know, grapevine talking about all the turns. So many benefits by having your people happy.
Yeah. So we've got about a minute and a half left before I want to transition to something else. But I want to ask you, when you're doing these brown bag lunches and you're talking to employees, what are some of the top topics that they're talking about when it comes to employee benefits?
Well, I think insurance is one. And what's happening is, because we've got different generations of team members now, some of your demographic isn't as interested because, you know, I'm young, I'm healthy, I'm dynamic. But then you have the other end of the spectrum that needs it. So I believe in, they want menus is what they're looking for with insurance. But I think some of the highest sought after things are work-life balance, which is your PTO. A lot of companies are still, you know, barely giving 3 weeks, and that's your sick time too, where you can be so creative with PTO, flex time, work schedules to allow people a better life. So everything to do with when I'm present at work and how I'm rewarded. The other thing that's becoming really important is people's families are changing. Not everybody is married. Not everybody has children. A lot of us have pets. So you're finding that you've got to address the diversity in your teams with, how do we approach, you know, a single parent? How do we approach, you know, a family? How do we approach somebody whose family's their dogs, like me? I love my animals. And, you know, I'm seeing a lot more pet bereavement, which I'm a full believer in, but they're still not giving as much pet bereavement as they do for people. And I think that I need more for my pets than I would by, I tell my husband, sorry, baby, but the dogs come first. So you're seeing things like that. I mean, because this is real life,
yeah.
Right?
Right.
This is how it is. I mean, I'm a big believer in 4 10-day shifts, especially with maintenance. You can lower your cost of turnover, but reward them with a 4-day week and better service. I know a highly sought after one is remote work and, you know, flexibility. So there's all sorts of things, but well-being, really, really big. And some of the things we just talked about impact your well-being. But what are you doing, you know, for your people, you know, to take care of themselves? And a lot of this, we've already talked about it, you know, whether it's education, having a place to talk, your insurance is better. You have a group, you know, that's into their pets, a pet group, a family group. There's so much you can do for well-being. But again, you're not going to be thinking about their well-being if you're not people first, and if you're not extraordinary, because all these things take time to plan and to implement. So if you really care and you're people first, you're going to do it.
All right. We are going to leave the topic there. We've got about a minute and a half left, and I would like for you to let our folks, our audience know what you're working on now with your consulting, and how can they reach out to you if they have questions or if they have a need?
Great. I love it. Well, after my years of experience, I decided it's time for me to give back. So the things that I'm working on is leadership coaching. Love working with a group, whether it's your regional managers or property managers who want to take that next step. So leadership coaching individually and together. I love speaking to groups. So whether it's at your company event or at an apartment association event or anything like that, love speaking. The other things that I do is I do a series of webinars so you can watch me. I have a YouTube station, and I'm on LinkedIn and Facebook and Twitter. Everything is under Maria Pietroforte, which you will probably never spell. So you can text me at 805-422-4722. That's my cell. My office phone number is 731-244-2032. And I know that Paul will have some links on his site to my website and other information about me, but I would love to help your team or take a special project for your company as a consultant. I'm here to help.
That's great. And yes, I will have a link on the episode, this episode page on our website directly to your website. So I'd urge people to do it. You know, Maria, you've got a very, very impressive resume and background with some of the companies you've led over the years, and I urge you, our listeners, to reach out to you if they have a need. We're gonna have to break it here, though. We're gonna have you back on again, but we will be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.